The most meaningful presents may not come wrapped in shiny paper or frilly ribbons. The most meaningful presents are those that touch your heart. Those that are more valuable than a price tag may ever be able to put on them. The story of a young lady named Ashley who shares this story. She says, after my first year with my boyfriend, I expected a decent birthday gift. You know, maybe a nice romantic dinner. Or maybe that cute little jacket from one of my favorite stores. You know, something that would tell me that he thought about me and he cares about me. So on my birthday, when he handed me this wrapped up little piece of paper, my heart sank. So I mustered up some fake enthusiasm, she says, and I unwrapped this piece of paper to find a folder with two pockets in it. Inside this folder were official documents for a star he purchased for me. He named the star Martine. That was the name that was given to my mother in a Quebec orphanage before she had been adopted out and they changed her name to Judy. Martine. It was also my middle name in honor of my mother. See, my mother died when I was 16 years old. And over the course of the last year, I spent a few embarrassing nights tearfully telling my boyfriend stories about my mom. So even though a piece of paper can't bring her back, the night sky feels different every time I look at it. I think of my mom sparkling in all of her glory. The most meaningful presents may not come wrapped in shiny paper or frilly ribbons. See, Jesus gave us a gift, the gift of Pentecost. And today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, not just because it's a day on the calendar, but because it needs to become a day in our hearts. See, Pentecost wasn't originally associated with Holy Spirit. Pentecost was a Jewish festival. It was a festival that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. That's why it always follows this close to what we naturally consider Easter. For the Jewish festival, it was one of the high-honored festivals. It's one of the festivals where the males of Israel were required to present themselves at the sanctuary. It was one of three festivals this way, special festivals. They were all special, but these three held almost an even more and higher significance. It also marked the end of the barley harvest in Israel. This Feast of Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks. It's the same feast with two different names. It was Israel's opportunity to thank God for the harvest, to give glory to God for all that he means and all that he provides. It was a time to honor and worship God, and that's why the males of Israel would go to the sanctuary or to the tabernacle to present themselves in honor and worship of God. And it was on this day, it was on the day of the Festival of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, that we know it as the day that the Holy Spirit came to this world. But just before that, let me back you up a little bit to leading up to that day. You see, Jesus spoke of it. In Luke 24, Jesus said this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus said, wait for the promise. Wait to be clothed with power. And then famous words that you may recognize from Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them. Who's he? Jesus. He said to them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As a result of this instruction by Jesus to his followers, his disciples, and those who believed in him, as a result of this, we are told later in Acts that about 120 people had gathered in what we would call the upper room, a prayer gathering, a gathering similar to this. And they gathered for about 10 days. Imagine that. We have trouble coming to a one-hour prayer meeting, but they gathered for 10 days. Now, I want to guess at the beginning of 10 days, there were more than 120. And if they had just stuck it out, some of them didn't wait long enough for God to show up. Have you ever done that? Have you ever believed God and just when you thought God wasn't going to answer, you gave up? And because you gave up, you missed what God had for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. So here's 120 people gathered in a room in Jerusalem. Why? Because Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem for the gift, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we come to those famous words in Acts chapter 2. So as these 120 people are waiting in Jerusalem, here's what happens. When the day of Pentecost came, why is it the day of Pentecost? I told you, it's the feast. It's the day of the festival. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. See, the Holy Spirit baptism is given to us today to help us and empower us to be true Jesus followers. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus changes us and the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit baptism is a gift from God. And so we read in this passage, we read in that passage that there were three significant signs that came on the day of Pentecost. There was the sound of mighty rushing wind, and there were what appeared to be flames of fire, and people spoke in other tongues, a language they did not learn. That's what that means. A language they did not know. And these are three of the signs on the day of Pentecost. And they're important elements and they're important signs and they mean something. And unfortunately this morning I don't have time to develop that for you because that's not where I want to go. We'll pick that up another time. And I've taught on that in the past as well, that fire represents the presence of God and the sound. It wasn't wind, it was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. You know, a real mushing mighty wind might have ripped the roof off that building and scattered and hurt them. It was the sound. And they spoke in tongues. It was a sign of giving over to God. These are the signs that the Holy Spirit, that which Jesus had told them about, that's what Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem for it. And on the day of Pentecost, in that upper room, it came. Remember, Jesus changes us and the Holy Spirit empowers us. Jesus gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to live the proper Christian life. I have news for you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't live for Christ on your own. Because there's many stories in the Bible of men and women who tried to do things for God in their own strength. And when they do that, they fail miserably. Sometimes they failed, and some of them failed miserably. And Jesus knew that. That's why he told us, go and wait for the promise. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power from on high. Go and wait for it. And sometimes we need to wait for the power from on high. But you know what the beauty is? We don't need to wait for that specific day of Pentecost, because it's already happened. And the Holy Spirit is already here in this world. And the Holy Spirit is already here for those who want to be followers of Christ. So I want to show you why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. The first thing I want to remind you is that Pentecost empowers you to know Jesus. Pentecost empowers you to know Jesus. You see, Christianity is not about a bunch of rules. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Now, sometimes we've tried to make it that way. Some of you may have grown up in very strict Christian traditions. Some of you may have never been to church before. Some of you may have this idea that God's just boring. God just doesn't want you to have any fun. So he gives you all these rules. So you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't wear this and you must wear that. Why? Because I think mankind has tried to take the heart of the gospel and put it in containers that we can understand. It's easy to kind of put handles on something that sometimes is hard to grasp. You know, and we try to make, you know, we can act and look certain ways. And if we act and look certain ways, that means everything's good. But you know, sometimes we've made acting and looking certain ways the end all and the be all. But yet on the day of Pentecost, Jesus said to his followers, it's not the outside that I gotta change, it's the inside I have to change. See, man is worried about the outward appearance. God is worried about what's really going on inside. How many of you have been in church for more than 20 years of your life? Look around. Hold them up. You know, don't look. How many of you who've got your hands up know that you can fake it? Right? You can come in miserable and you can fake it. Why? Because you know how to make it happen. You can come in miserable and you can go home even worse. Why? Because it's the outward. But Pentecost empowers you to know Jesus. To know, not know about him. Not to know about his stories. Not just to know what his words were, but to know him. To know him. To know him. See, because Christianity isn't about rules. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the only way to God. He's not a way. He's the way. Now that might upset some of you, and I'm sorry, I didn't say it, Jesus did. You see, in any man who can come from God, any man who can predict his death and resurrection is the man whose words we need to pay attention to. And this is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way. Not all roads lead to God. Only one road. That road name is Jesus. And we need the Holy Spirit to empower us in our lives so we can know Jesus. Because Christianity is about knowing Jesus. See, Jesus took time to reveal himself to us. That's why he came and he walked this world for 3.5 years with his disciples. Because he said, I'm going to reveal who my Father is through me. And you will know me. My sheep know my voice, he said. Jesus told us that we would need the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish this. Again, he said in John 14, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. See, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit in our lives because the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us. And now what's he going to teach us and remind us? Well, he's going to teach us and remind us the Word of God. You can open Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can read all about what Jesus said. You could read the writings of the apostles that come after that and the letters written to the churches that teach us. But we need the Holy Spirit to take those words from the pages of our Bible and put them in the pages of our heart. And we cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we try to do it on our own, we fail. And we need the Holy Spirit. See, Christianity is about following Jesus Christ. That's where the term Christ followers come from. That's what we are. It's about us surrendering our lives to Jesus. Confessing that we are sinners and that we have sinned and we have wronged God. Requesting and asking God for forgiveness for our sins and surrendering our lives to Jesus. Our bodies, our minds, everything that we have and everything that we are. See, because Christianity is a relationship with a living person and that living person's name is Jesus Christ. In order for us to know Jesus personally, we need the help and the power of the Holy Spirit so that he will reveal everything that Jesus is to us. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to know Jesus? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about the things that Jesus has spoken about? Do you allow yourself to hear what the Holy Spirit says? See, because sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we say, no. I don't like that. I want to do it my way. I don't want to go to church this morning. I'm tired. I don't want to go to small group tonight. It's been a hard day at work. I don't want to put money in the offering. I worked hard for this. God, what did you do? I worked. I sweated for this. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life and allow you to know Jesus? Remember, Jesus changes us and the Holy Spirit empowers us. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to know Jesus. And Pentecost transforms you. The Holy Spirit transforms you. See, the Christian life is more than a salvation experience. And sometimes that's where we fail because, you know, we figure if we can get them to church, if we can get them to lift their hand and take a salvation packet, if we can get them to pray the sinner's prayer, we're done. Hee-haw! But God's got more than that for you. God's got more than that in store for your life. God wants to do more than just save you. God wants to transform your life. It's been one of our themes for the last couple of years. We did a few months, a whole study as a church on this transformation. And we need the Holy Spirit to transform us. There's a fullness of living for God that God has for you. We don't just want to be saved. We don't want to just say, well, you know, my sins are forgiven and I'm going to make it to heaven. We need the fullness of God's life in our life. And God is calling you to transformation. If your faith has not grown since you first got saved, there's a problem. If we're not growing in our faith. Now, if you got saved in the last few weeks, okay, I'm not talking to you. But all of you who raised your hands before, have you grown in the 20 years plus? Are you growing today? Have you ever heard of the term failure to thrive? Some of you in the medical field recognized it right away, didn't you? It's a medical term usually referring to babies and infants. And it's usually when a baby or infant is not growing properly. They're not gaining weight, they're not growing, and the medical term is failure to thrive. And the failure to thrive is usually tied to nourishment or lack of nourishment. How many of you got the weekly update this week? Okay, there's more than you on that list. How many of you opened it? How many of you read it? How many of you noticed there was a link to the Samson's update this month? How many of you opened it and read it? All two of you. Wow. Now, in that update from Dawn, there's a picture of her holding a baby. The baby was brought to them by the mother and grandmother. Because you didn't read it, I have to tell you now. We send you stuff to help you. If you're not on the newsletter, go to our website. Sign up for newsletter and you'll get one every week. Okay? Back to the sermon. This commercial is brought to you by Dan Incorporated. So she's got a mother and grandmother brought this baby who had not grown for 2 months. And so they prayed over him, and then Don said to somebody in the church, take these people and bring them right to the hospital. And they did. They came back a short time later, and the doctors had, she didn't put this in the story, but I am assuming from what she wrote, it was failure to thrive. The baby was lacking nourishment. And they gave the baby some special nourishment, and the baby is growing. And they brought the baby back to church, and he's doing much better. And they're praying over him, and they're praying. And yes, we pray over them, we believe, but we use some wisdom, and so this baby needs nourishment. See, they don't live in North America where it's almost common. Failure to thrive. You know the problem? There are many Christians who are living in a failure to thrive atmosphere. You know, I'll go to church once a month. I don't need a small group. I don't need anything. I'll just turn the TV on and watch some preachers. Some of them have some good words. Some of them you might have to be careful about. Especially if they're on at 2 in the morning. Maybe. There's probably some good ones on at 2 in the morning too. What is it? It's a failure to thrive. Because we need to be growing. We need to be maturing. We need the nourishment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul had something to say about this in Hebrews 5. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Paul is reprimanding the believers that he wrote to here. Because he said, by this time, in other words, they've been around long enough, but they haven't matured. They've had the failure to thrive. He says at the end, you need milk, not solid food. You should be on solid food. Right? As your babies grow, they grow from milk to solid food, right? And as Christians, we grow from the milk of what God has for us to the solid food of the meat of the gospel accounts and the meat of the gospel. But Paul says, we have to teach you the elementary truth all over again. All over again. In other words, we did this and it didn't stick. We did this and you didn't nourish your spirit. And now you're in failure to thrive. And instead of moving forward as believers, you're moving backwards. See, because that's all we are. You're never standing still. You're either moving forwards or going backwards. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit to cause your life to be transformed so that you can grow spiritually. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to say, there's a rough edge there, and I want you to work on it? And that's the other thing. We need to work on it. I've tried. I got to be honest, I've tried. My mother was a piano teacher. I can't play a stick. Actually, that's not true. I can fool around, but I know where middle C is. But I was foolish enough, and I used to go to the piano at home, and I would say, God, anoint these fingers. And it didn't work. Didn't work. Why? Because I wasn't willing to put the effort in. I didn't try. And there are times that the Holy Spirit is going to show us things in our lives where the rough edges are. And he says, okay, time to work on this. I'll work with you, but I won't work it for you. Some things God only can do for us. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are some things where Holy Spirit says, you and I are going to work on this together. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. See, Jesus changes us and the Holy Spirit empowers us. Then there's another famous verse. Most of you may recognize Acts 1:8. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, not only does Pentecost cause you to know Jesus, not only does Pentecost transform you, but Pentecost empowers you to be a witness. You see, there's a growing thing here. Before we can do anything, we need to know Jesus. And before we can be a witness, our lives need to start being transformed by the Holy Spirit. I didn't say perfect. How many of you are perfect this morning? That's what I thought. None of us. So I know some of you were trying to put your hand on your wife's elbow and you put that down. I know you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. If you want to know, just go ask my wife. But we need to understand that Pentecost empowers you to be a witness. Story about a lady who took her watch to the jewelry repair shop because it wasn't working anymore. And so the jeweler took it and went to his back bench and he said, just hold on, I'll be back in a minute. And he came back out a few minutes. He goes, okay, it's all good now, it's working. And she goes, what? You fixed it already? And he said, it only needed a battery. She says, a battery? I've been winding that thing every morning. Nobody told me there's a battery in it. And some of us act that way with God. There's a battery inside of you. His name is Holy Spirit. We've been trying to wind it ourselves instead of allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to charge us from the inside out. See, he empowers us to be a witness. Jesus gave us the task to be his witness everywhere we go. Everything we do, in every life and situation, that we're to be his witness. But he says, you know, you don't need to do it on your own. Because he gave us the power to accomplish the task. The baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of Christ. See, Pentecost is supposed to change our hearts. It's supposed to transform our lives. It's supposed to let us look out in the world around us and not just see people who drive us crazy, but see people who are lost for eternity. But let's be honest. Many times we get tunnel vision. Many times we don't see those people the way God sees them. Many times we get frustrated with them rather than understand that God loves them. Many times we think, well, you know, Jesus died for me. He loves me. Those people are just so rotten. Ouch. Ouch. But you see, the power of the Holy Spirit is supposed to transform us so that we can become a witness. A witness. Are our lives different from their lives? Is our speech different than their speech? Are our reactions different than theirs? Do our purposes and lifestyle stand out that we live for Christ? Or are we just like them? Do they know that we're different just because they watch us? Or do we blend in so well that nobody sees Jesus in us? I was a kid and I remember this story. A friend of mine growing up, we were both kids, and his neighbors one day said to him, or either to him or maybe to his mom, and they said, "We don't understand why every Sunday morning at 8:30 your garage door goes up and you all go out and you all come back. Like, what are you doing?" "Oh, we're going to church." "Every week?" Now, of course, when we were kids, it was kind of normal to go every week. We went to Sunday school, and we went to church in the morning, and we went back at night. And now we have a hard time coming once on Sunday morning. Anyways, they recognized that this group, you know, they just keep doing this day in and week out, month after month, year after year. But what do people see when they look at you? Do they see Jesus? Because remember, we're empowered to know Jesus. We're empowered to be transformed to be like Jesus. And then we are supposed to be witnesses of Jesus. What do people see when they look at you? Has Pentecost changed your heart? Do you understand that God desires that none would perish? Do you understand that maybe the only Jesus people will ever encounter is the Jesus in you? Once they encounter the Jesus in you, that opens up all kinds of doors. But first, they need to encounter the Jesus in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you in being a witness. Remember, Jesus changes us and the Holy Spirit empowers us. Have you received the gift of Pentecost in your life? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Have you received the gift of Pentecost in your life? Now I know what some of you are probably thinking this morning. We're coming to church and we're a Pentecostal church. And some of you probably didn't even know that. It's not in the name. It's okay. It's in the heart. I hope. And yes, I believe in speaking in tongues, and I believe it's an initial evidence and all of that. But this morning, I don't want us to get tied up in tongues. Because even tongues and the gift of the Spirit were for more than speaking in tongues. See, that sometimes we failed in the past. And we've made it all about speaking in tongues. And I believe in it. It's important, I believe. Because sometimes when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays in tongues through you. And those of you who have already received the gift of tongues, you know exactly what I'm saying. But we can't limit it to that. It's bigger than that. It's broader than that. It's more important than that. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about seeing our lives transformed by the power of the Spirit. It's about our lives being a shining witness because of the power of the Spirit. Have you received the gift of Pentecost in your life? Have you received the power of the Holy Spirit that comes with all of that? See, God gave us the Holy Spirit so we can know Jesus. I wonder this morning, is there anybody in this room who would say, Pastor, before I can go on to those other things, I have to stop there. I don't know Jesus. I've never recognized my need as a sinner, or I've never recognized that I need a Savior. I've never recognized that I'm lost in this world and that if I died, I'd go to hell because I don't know God. If that's you this morning, I want you to know you could leave this place knowing Jesus. So just help me, everybody. Close your eyes. I just want to give people some personal space. There's nothing spiritual about closing your eyes. Just close your eyes. If that's you this morning, as I pause here, I say, I want to know Jesus. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I've never given my life to Jesus. I know about him. I know the stories of the Bible, but I don't know Jesus. You say, but Pastor, today I want to know Jesus. Would you just lift your hand so I could see it? I'll meet with you privately. I'll pray with you privately. But I just want to know that you're here and we can help you. Okay, you can open your eyes and look. Would you stand with me this morning? See, not only do we get the Holy Spirit so we can know Jesus, but we have the Holy Spirit to transform us. We can't live for Jesus on our own strength. We need the power of Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to empower our witness. We need to live our lives as a witness to the world around us. Again, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. So just a moment of privacy. How many of you would be honest with yourself first and with God? And say, you know what, Pastor? I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. If that's you, just lift your hand up. Just want to see it. There's hands all over this place. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Just hold your hands up. Just hold your hands up. Those of you who are lifting your hands today, just begin to even whisper in your spirit, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need your power. Just begin to tell him what you need. He'll answer your prayer if you earnestly ask. He'll answer the cries of your heart if you'll cry out to him. Father, we just come to you today. On this Pentecost Sunday, where we recognize that we need you and we need the power of your Spirit in our lives, that we've tried this on our own and it's not working. So, Father, today I ask that you see those whose hands have been raised, who've been honest. And Father, I ask that you would endue them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you would be their strength and their empowerment. Lord, it's your gift to us. And Lord, when we receive the gift, all we have to do is take it and open it. So Lord, I ask for you to pour out your Spirit once again. As you did in days gone by, you'll do today and tomorrow. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.